That's where my heart is. I love a group of ladies all coming together to laugh, to cry, to just have a good time. Just for a little while, we're not paying bills, we're not taking care of kids, we're not cooking for our husbands, and we're not grocery shopping. We're just coming and thinking about us and having a good time. And so I want to thank Mrs. Ennis and Brother Ennis for having all of us. And I would like to thank Wendy, and all the ladies have done a wonderful job at this church. I'm telling you, my husband and I have been here a week. Now, he flew home Thursday because he has a revival starting in the morning in Texas. And so, but we have been treated like gold in all the three churches that we have been in. We have just been spoiled and taken good care of. And North Carolina's got some good churches. And they got friendly people. And so I just want to say thank you for the, I never ever think of it as not being an honor and a privilege to come speak to ladies. Now, I've got one of those things on my mind. Because I said a word wrong a while ago, and first Loretta says, that's not really what that means. And then I came and there was a note on my gift that says that a teetotaler is not a person that drinks, it's a person that doesn't drink. Now, okay, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't, now see, my husband was an alcoholic, so I know what that word is. But I'm talking about somebody that drinks but doesn't want anybody to know they're drinking. They hide it. So what's that called? A closet drinker. Yeah, we'll just call them that. That lady said she was a closet drinker. And so that's why the preacher's wife was like, okay, really, you're not telling this visitor that you know, that you're saying it's okay if you drink, you know. I think she was trying to point out all of her sins so it would make the other lady look better. So that's what it was. So a teetotaler is not a person that drinks. So excuse me if you're a teetotaler. Okay, let's sing a song. The wise man built his house upon the rock.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm.
So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ.
So build your
thinking you're a fool. I'm gonna give, now I've already seen, you know, that I've said some things and stuff, and so, but I've had a good time. So just say that I'm senile, if you know. I'd say in the change, but I'm not in the change as much as I used to be changed, but I think I've gotten changed. So, all right, so now I want to talk to you about wisdom. We found out how to be a really good fool. And I hope that if anybody is in this room and they're thinking, gosh, she was talking about me. You know, it's not that you're a fool. It's that you're a fool if you don't stop being a fool. You know, so how do we do that? So I want to talk to you now about how do you get wisdom. The verse said in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So what are we going to do? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, Miss Ogdy, you, any of you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So kind of like what Loretta had talked about, well, you know what, I've been too bad, I haven't done this, or whatever. When I first had a preacher talk to me about being saved, I couldn't figure out what he wanted me to get saved from. Because I told you I had been raised in a church that, boy, you're just supposed to, you know, live like this and do this and do this and everything. And I thought, but I haven't robbed any banks. And I don't think I've killed anybody or anything. What is everybody talking about this get saved? What am I getting saved from? Well, when I finally realized and really, you know, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and I got under conviction, is when I realized that it is not what I did. It's not what I did not do. It is that one man's sin entered into this world, and so death passed upon all of us. And because Adam sinned, I was born a sinner, and I needed to be saved. And boy, when I got under conviction, I couldn't get to my preacher's house fast enough. Now, little did I know, I could have just knelt right there in my own home, but I stayed up all night long thinking I was going to die and go to hell, and I needed to be saved. And boy, I'll tell you what, I hit that door of the preacher's house, and I told him that I needed to be saved, and I got saved, and you know what? I wised up. The beginning of being wisdom is to get saved. Today, wise decision. Not a foolish decision, but a wise decision. Remember what I said about that the devil wants to fool you? You know what? If you're saved, you know you're saved. You know you're saved. We've had people that come up, well, I think I am. Well, I hope I am. No. These things have I written you that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to think it. You don't have to hope it. You want to be wise. The number one thing you need to do is get saved. Amen. Get saved. And ladies, in this day and age with so much going on, boy, I can't imagine that I put my head on the pillow tonight that I did not know that I know. I mean, we're talking about, what, the rockets are going to come hit us in the head or all the fussing and the fighting and the floods and the fires and that. Well, we could just write the book of Matthew, couldn't we, with what's going on? And yet, knowing that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, when I take my last breath here, I'm in heaven. And if you know the Lord is your Savior, the second you die, I don't care what you die of, I don't care how you die, but the second you die, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't end here, it just begins. So the number one thing to do about being wise is to get saved, to be saved. And salvation is not anything that anybody can ever take away from you. You can't even if you want to, and you get mad at a church, you say, well, I just don't want to be saved anymore. Well, that's too bad, because Jesus died on the cross, and he died once. And if you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, that's what he says. If whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can't unmake yourself saved. So praise God for that, because boy, would we all be in trouble. So be saved. All right, the next thing I want you to do if you really want to be a wise person is read the book. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or, you know, when you're older, there are a lot of things that you cannot do anymore. It just, you know, I can't, you know, although my daddy is 91 years old, still working full time. And the other day I go over to his house and he's up on the top of a ladder getting in his attic. And I said, you know, Daddy, it's not that you can't do that. It's that you should not do that. And I said, because if you fall, it's over. It's over. You're not going to be able to take care of yourself anymore. You're not going to be able to be independent. You're not going to be able to drive everywhere that you drive. And so there are some things the older you get, you cannot do. Maybe you can't work in the nursery all the time like you used to, because there is a law against killing kids. And so, you know, and your patience gets a little bit. We had two of our grandkids for 11 days 2 weeks ago. When they left, I thought, they're going to go home and tell their parents that their granny and Grammy and Pawpaw did nothing but fight the whole time they were here. He kept telling me, never again. Never. So my heart goes out to all of you people that are raising your grandkids. Because, my goodness, 11 days, one of them was 8 and one of them was 10. And you know, there's just so much you can do with two children that size. We went to Six Flags. Hello! We went to Six Flags. The preacher and I spent more time in the rocking chairs outside of the ride than we did on the rides. We rode one ride, and it was the Roaring Rapids. And I get on this dumb thing, and the water comes and soaks me from head to toe. And I looked at that water, and it was green, and it was... And I told my husband, I just want to go home. I want to shower. But anyway, one of the things we can do when we get older, especially, you can do it when you're younger too. But boy, I love to get in the Bible and read the Bible. I told you, I love to just get in there. I love to find those nuggets of where you go, I didn't know that was in there. Yeah, it is. And one of the things that we can do is we can pray for people. Oh, my goodness, I wake up to go to the bathroom because most people that are old get up and go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. My husband and I just kind of pass each other at 3 o'clock in the morning. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Okay, so I tell people when we're out on the road, I'll say, now pray for us because, you know, there's a lot of idiots out on the road. And I won't tell you that my husband is one. He just thinks everybody else is. So I tell all the older people, when you get up at 3 o'clock, pray for us. We might be out on the road at that time. And so it seems like, and I may be wrong with this, but it seems like the older you get, the more precious this Bible becomes. Every word just becomes so precious. And you want to read it. You want to study it. You want to, it's harder to, you know, it says, hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. It's harder to memorize. And I can think of all of these scriptures I know, but I can't always think of every house they live in anymore. But some things become really, really precious. And one of the things I want to, and just I really, really want to get through to you is, young and old, whoever you are, read the Word of God every day. I don't care if you read it 5 minutes. Read something. Read Psalms. Read Proverbs. Many, many people start with Proverbs, and because there's 31 Proverbs, and so you can read 31 days, a proverb each day. Psalms. I love the Psalms. The book of John. Just read. Get in. You want to be wise. Read what God has to tell you. He tells us how to live and what to do with our lives. You want to be wise. You don't want to be a fool. You want to be wise. Get saved. Read God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, that also helps you when you put the scriptures in. It helps you. You know, older people get lonesome. You know, we're used to having our kids and they were little and they were around us all the time. And God has blessed us above and beyond. And to God be the glory, great things he has done. But all of our sons are in the ministry. And so they're all doing the same thing that we've done for so many years. And so you don't get to see each other as much anymore because everybody's busy. And our grandkids, our grandson has now gone off to Brother Fugit's in Kentucky. And it's exciting and it's wonderful, but we just don't get together like we used to. So older people, you have to be careful. Now, if I'm right on this, you have to be careful because sometimes you're sitting home and you're going, I wonder if anybody thinks about me out there. You know, have any of my kids checked on me lately? Now, some of you have your kids right by you, and that's fabulous. But, you know, if they're away from you, do you ever think, well, I wonder if they're going to pick up the phone and call me? I'd call them, but they're probably busy. And so you have to fight several things the older you get. And if you want to be wise, then just go back and remember how busy you were. And it didn't mean you didn't love your mom. It didn't mean you didn't love your daddy. It just meant you were busy. And so pray about somebody. Call somebody. You know, older people should check on older people. We were just talking a while ago. I don't know how many of you know this, but Mrs. Hiles died last week. And what she was doing is, let's see, it's been 2 weeks now since she died. She was fixing lunch for one of her daughters was in the hospital. And she was fixing lunch, and she had made the lunch. I'm glad she had made the lunch, and the fire wasn't still going. And she had made her some soup, and she had made her a dessert. And she just collapsed, had a heart attack or a stroke or whatever, but she was dead when they found her. And so we lost greatness. But she was thinking of somebody else. She could have said, well, I'm not going to make any soup for my daughter because, you know, I'm old. And she can just, you know, I'll take her down to Cracker Barrel or something. But the key to get over how you feel about things is to do something for somebody else. Call and check on them. Send them a card. I tell you, I know some people that they send me a card almost every week. They are going to get to heaven, and boy, they are going to have a crown for all the cards they send out to people. That's a dying art, ladies. Because nowadays, they text you. You know, I called my friend and I said, did you get my mail that I sent to you? And she said, oh, I did. I got a birthday card. You know, nowadays they can just make them all so pretty and all this stuff on the phones and stuff. That's not me. So, but anyway, read God's word daily. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Pray, you know your kids are out there somewhere, they're doing something, they're you want them to be safe, you want them to be, I've been praying for all three of my sons to get some financial blessing. And you say, well, why is that? Because I've been in the ministry a long time, and they have kids. And so I just have been praying, Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways at so many different times. Just, Lord, let the kids have this, or let the kids do this or something. And he has, over and over and over again. And one of the things that we have to do is, I love this, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. When you're praying, pray for your preacher. Pray for your preacher's wife, and pray for their family. Okay, I'm going to move my soapbox over here just a second. You know, I know preachers that their kids didn't turn out. Now, but it's not my job to say, well, you know what, if they'd have done this or if they'd have done that, then they'd have had perfect kids just like mine. Hello? If you want to be an encourager to your preacher's wife, ask them how their children are. Say, you know, your kids have been on my mind, and I just prayed for them today, and I just wanted to let you know that I was thinking about your kids. And, you know, do you know how many times a preacher and a preacher's wife pray for your families? Turn around and pray for their families. Pray for the preacher. I don't know about y'all, but I am so tired of people falling by the wayside. I don't care whether it's preachers or preachers' wives or people in church. We need to stick together. And so pray. First of all, pray for yourself. I had a lady in Bible college that taught me that. She said, you ought to pray for yourself at least 5 minutes a day. And so I started timing it. That's a long time, you know. But if you don't pray for yourself and you don't get your life right, then you've closed off the funnel that gets through to the Lord to get somebody else help. So pray for yourself. Pray for your preacher. Pray for your kids. Pray for your husband. Pray for your enemies. Man, I got to pray for my enemies? Yes, absolutely. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. Be glad you got an enemy. That way you got somebody to pray for. And so pray for them. Pray for your Sunday school teacher, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your boss, your enemy. Pray for them. Now, remember, we're trying to be wise. So number one, get saved. Number two, read God's word. Number three, pray. Number four, love one another. I'm telling you, I feel so bad about Houston, Texas, but I have not seen the hand of the Lord move so much in so many people and for so long. I just haven't done it. I'm sick of hearing what Trump does, what Trump doesn't do, what this one does, what that one doesn't do, which statue is supposed to go, which... I did tell... one of the ladies, I guess it was Rudder or somebody, I was telling, my goodness, every place I ever went to school, they must have had to change the name of it. Because I went to Ben Milam, and then I went to Robert E. Lee, and then I went to Andrew Jackson. So I don't understand all of that. I don't understand it, and it's not for me to judge it. But somewhere we have to start loving one another. And the loving one another is only by Christ. Because we'd all just... you know, we're all different personalities. Some are quiet, and some are loud, and some are louder, and we're just different people. But where does it come in? I loved seeing in Houston, if you watched, how many of you watched any of that? The boats that just took off and went down the streets and picked up people, they didn't go and say, well, I'm here to pick you up, or are you an independent fundamental Baptist? You know, or I'm sorry, you're a white or black or green or yellow, and that's all, I just can't put you in my boat. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. People cared about other people, and they were in need. And isn't that not what the Bible tells us? To love one another? 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's just as plain as it gets. God loved you. Why don't you love somebody else? You know, we need to pick out somebody in our church that really, really, really just gets our goat. You know, just something about them. And ask the Lord, say, Lord, boy, I have a terrible spirit about that lady. I just don't even think I like her. So would you help me to bake a pie for her? If you cook pies, I cook cobblers. In our church, you got a cobbler for everything you did. If you got a divorce, I made you a cobbler. If you came home from the hospital, I made you a cobbler. You know, whatever it was, because I'm Betty Crocker, I never have been. But I ask the Lord to give you somebody. Maybe the person is in a nursing home. You know, we're all headed there one of these days. And so maybe it's somebody that used to be really, really active in this church, and they used to work in the nursery or a Sunday school, or they used to sing, or they used to be in the choir, and maybe now they're in a nursing home. How busy, busy, busy we get that we can't go and stop and knock on the door and share a smile or a hug or a pray with them or something. Love one another. You're going to be wise that way. And you're going to feel so much better about yourself when you go do something for somebody else. Love one another. Live a holy life. I'm telling you, ladies, excuse me. I have to tell you, the other day I went to get a mammogram. Okay. And so I went in, and I was dressed up, I guess, and this lady says, ma'am, you look so nice. She said, people just don't do that anymore. They don't dress up for things anymore. And I thought, come to get dressed. You know? But it is so true. We ought to look different. I don't care if you walk in the grocery store, somebody ought to say, well, that person looks different. What is it they look like? Maybe Christ-like? Maybe peculiar? Maybe different? I had a Muslim lady, now this was kind of scary, had a Muslim lady came up and say, I love the way you're dressed. I was like, thank you. But did the Lord not tell us, be peculiar? Live a holy life. Be different. You know, everybody looks the same nowadays, especially teenagers. They'll all look the same, and it may just be 14 colors of hair and 32 piercings and tattoos all over everywhere. And if you have them, God bless your heart. But I'm telling you, we don't all have to do that. You know, you don't have to. I think I was afraid of my parents, you know. But there ought to be something different about you. Now, should you stick your nose up like you're better than they are? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Maybe you're just wiser than they are. Maybe you're choosing to live a different kind of life. Maybe you're choosing to live a holy life. Live the way the Lord would want you to. Be a soul winner. Go out and, well, we better hurry up and tell people about the Lord. Because I believe with all my heart the Lord is coming soon. We better get out there and tell people. And you say, well, I can't walk anymore. You know, ladies, I'm not at our church hardly anymore because we're on the road all the time. So I asked the Lord to give me people to witness to wherever we were at. And so one of the things that I've done as a ministry now is I want to give a tract to every maid that's in a hospital, that's in a hotel. You know, there's a lot of people. And Sarita Buchanan taught me this a long time ago. If you go to a hotel, leave a tract and some money. enough money for him to get a Coke or something, to just say thank you for what you did. I appreciate it. That's a way of witnessing to people. Be an example. By the way, on the soul winner, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. Be an example. Keep your testimony. Keep your eyes focused on the end. My husband has said this over and over again. On his headstone, he wants it to say one thing: faithful. He said, that's all I wanted to say on my headstone is I want to end up faithful. Faithful to my Lord and Savior. Faithful to my family. Faithful to my grandkids. I want to be faithful. And I just think that is a wonderful thing to do. And the only way you can do that is if you focus on the end. Because if you let little things come along, then marriages are going to get torn up. Children are going to get wayward or are going through things with them. You've got to, even if you have children, I had children that were wayward. But I had to stay on course and keep going like the Lord would want us to do. And by God's grace, they got back on track. But if you jump out of the boat to go save somebody, you're going to drown. You have to stay in the boat. Keep focused on your testimony. Keep your testimony. Stay on course. I told you about the family that we had lived with and that they got off course. We had to make up our mind. Boy, that was a big thing. If we had followed them, then we could have ended up just like them. Be careful. Don't change churches just because they change the color of pews or the toilet paper's back or forward. I learned something a while ago. Where's the lady that taught me about the toilet paper? Okay. Now, the reason that you go over with the toilet paper instead of under with the toilet paper is because if you go under, then somebody's touching the toilet paper that you're going to use. Didn't think about that? So everybody's got to start being an over toilet paper person now, see? If you didn't learn anything else from this seminar, you learned that. I love seminars. We're going to have so much fun. Okay, be an example for others. Keep your testimony. By faith, Enoch, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Faithful to the end. Now, examples of wise women, patriotic women, Deborah. Consistent was Ruth. Ideal mother, Hannah. Hospitable was the Shunammite lady. Self-sacrificing was Esther. Faith was I'll never pronounce that. Syropheniciain. That lady. Faith. Transformed, Mary Magdalene. Humble, Elizabeth. Now, these were wise people. A while ago, I gave you Jezebel and different ones of that. Businesswoman Lydia. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. We have a choice of how we're going to live. Are we going to be a fool? Or are we going to be wise? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ladies, we do mess up. I am not saying, well, if you just live this way, you will never be a fool again in your life. My favorite verse is, set a watch before my mouth, O Lord. I mean, all of us at some point in time do foolish things. Did anybody ever tell you, well, you need to wise up? You know, it doesn't mean that you won't do foolish things, but wise up. Wise up. God gives us a purpose and a plan for how to live our lives. Make a choice. One of my favorite people, and I'm going to end with this. I don't even know what time I'm supposed to end. Is it time? Okay, I'm going to end with this. I want to give you a challenge. I told you that how I was raised, and I went to the Catholic school and the whole bit and everything. Not everybody in your church is the Cleaver family. You know, now most of the young ones don't know who I'm talking about, but anyway, you know who that is. I mean, you know, we don't vacuum our living room in pearls and a high heel shoes. We don't do that. You know, and when I got into church, I started watching people. And I was doing a study one day. And I know this sounds funny, but one of my favorite people in the Bible is Rahab. And you say, well, she was a harlot. No, she was a fool who wised up. I want to encourage encourage you to do a study about Rahab. She knew who she was. All through the Bible, when it talks about it, it'll say Rahab the harlot, Rahab the harlot. But you know what she also was? She was a fabulous soul winner. Did you ever stop and think, why didn't she go out the window? If the king found out what she did, he would have killed her. But she didn't go out the window because she wanted to save her family. I have in my Bible my family's picture, and right under it I have a scarlet thread. And I have this in every Bible I have. And it's to show me that I need to hang on for the rest of my family. If you quit, who quits because you quit? Rahab was a soul winner. I'm just going to throw this out at you. She was a soul winner that thought of others. She risked her own life to save the spies. She married one of the spies. Maybe y'all are smarter and y'all knew that. She married one of the spies, Salmon. She became the mother of Boaz. Have you ever done a study about Boaz and what a wonderful son he was? Oh my goodness, a man of character. A man that knew how to treat women. A man that I think somewhere mom taught him to respect women. Because if you ever thought about it, he married a woman like his mother. Not the harlot, but he married a woman that was a Moabite. So she wasn't part of the in crowd. And so, and Boaz is a wonderful man. And so I think, you know, Rahab, she wised up. She did pretty good. She did so good that she became the great, great, I figured this out, great, great grandmother of David. And she became the great, 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 however many greats it is, of Jesus Christ. So ladies, it's not that you're a fool. It's what are you going to do about it? Wise up. Be a wise person for Christ. Make a choice. Wisdom, wise, are foolish a fool. Ladies, thank you so much for everything, and let's pray, and then we'll let the others come in. Father, thank you again for this day and the many, many blessings you've given us, and thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, hospitable church that we have been a chance to come to. Thank you for them letting me come and speak. Thank you for all of my new friends that I met and for the special people. Lord, I just pray you be with each and every one of these ladies and that they think about what they do and they think about what their choices are and they think about how others can be affected by their choices. Lord, help us to be wise and to live a life that you would have us that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray if there's one person in this room who's not saved, that they wise up and they get saved today. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.